الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على دين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إقرارا به وتوحيدا، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما مزيدا. أما بعد، فوصلنا we've reached the 22nd قسم الثاني والعشرون, the 22nd topic as it relates to the ilm of hadith in this Manzumat al-Bayquniya, explanation on this poetry, taken from predominantly the explanation of Shaykh Abdullah Bukhari and also from the works of Hafiz ibn Hajar, like Nuzha, and likewise Hafiz al-Hakimi, rahimahullah ta'ala. المقلوب قوله والمقلوب قسمان تلا أو تلا إبدال راو ما براو قسم وقلب إسناد لمتن قسم. He says رحمه الله تعالى for مقلوب that مقلوب is of two types, two categories. مقلوب is of two categories. إبدال راو ما براو قسم, and that is interchanging a narrator with another narrator. This is a category. وَقَلْبُ إِسْنَادٍ لِمَتْنٍ قِسْمُ. And they said interchanging one isnad to another hadith, which was not originally from that hadith. So this maqlub is like shadh, like mursal, like Munkar, are from these areas in the ilm of hadith that deals with ilal, something that is hidden, something that is concealed, difficult to see with the naked eye. So regarding this maqlub, we're going to deal with a few affairs. The first point, Nuqtatul Ula, is the ta'rifu al-maqlub logatan, the definition of maqlub linguistically, and it is ismu maf'ul min qalb, min qalaba. It's the object form from the word qalaba, wa huwa sarfu aw tahwilu shay' an wajhihi. And that is to change something from its apparent position or its initial position. Like you'd say, qalabtu al-kitab, ay hawaltuhu an wajhihi. Qalabtu al-kitab. So you have the book. If I say قَلَبْتُ الْكِتَابِ, I've done this. The book is supposed to be on its face, correct? Naam. When I do قَلْب of this book, I do this. That's the meaning of it linguistically. Now you see the back of the book, because I've turned it from its original position, form, and so forth. Naam. Point number two. The definition of al-maqlub according to the science of hadith, and that is huwa alladhi abdala fihi rawiyayhi shay'an bi akhar fi sanadi aw al-matan aw feehima ma'an imma 'amdan aw sahwa. And that is a definition that is in the hashiya of an-nuzha, and that is this the narration in which its narrator changes in the sanad something or another, and also in the matan, or both of them. So either the sanad, there's been an interchange in the sanad where something has been put in the incorrect order, or it's in the chain or matan, which is the text. And this is either done intentionally, as we'll soon see inshallah, or it's done through forgetfulness, as an error. I'll repeat it. And that is that where the narrators, they interchange the sequence, for example, in the isnad. It's in a specific order and it's changed. Topsy-turvy, like with the book. Interchanged or overturned. Now, either in the senate, in the chain, or in the text, or both of them. Imma amdan aw sahwa. Either intentionally, like to test someone, or sahwan, through human error or forgetfulness. Point number three. So, the categories of al-maqloob. It's as Bayquni, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Bayquni, he mentions in his Nazm, and that is qisman. Generally, it's categorized into two categories. Qalbun fil isnad wa qalbun fil matan. To cause an interchange in the chain or to cause an interchange in the text. Do we understand what I mean by interchange? Meaning putting something before something else. It's not in the correct order as it should be, either through forgetfulness, as we mentioned, or intentionally. Or intentionally, as we'll see the example with Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. And so those are the two categories. Either it happens in the chain or it happens in the text. And the one that happens in the chain is more predominant. You find it's rarely that it happens in a text, but it does happen in a text, as we'll show an example with that, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Point number four. Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he makes an important point. He says, هذا النوع من علوم الحديث مهم. This is an important aspect of the science of hadith. إذ له تعلق بتعليل الحديث من الشذوذ أو نكارة. نعم. And that is that this particular science of hadith topic here is important. Why? Because it's connected to ilal. We've talked about ilal a lot, صح? And those are those discrepancies that the naked eye are not able to see. So qalb, this issue is very important regarding to that. Why? Because it opens up our eyes to shadh and nakara. To shudhudh and nakara. Yani, from a hadith, because it's maqloob, can become shadh. And a hadith, because it's maqloob, can also become munkar. A hadith that is maqloob by a maqbool, and he is maqbool, mukhalifan liman huwa awla minhu, this is shadh. So when an accepted narrator, he does this interchange through error. We don't know it's error, first of all, sir. But he does this interchange. And in the same sitting, other trustworthy narrators said it the other way around. So therefore, this is now considered what? Maqloob, yes? It's considered maqloob, and maqloob is usually the, salamakumullah, the state of the text or the state of the isnad, how it looks. Now, because we understand there's maqloob, we can make hukm on the hadith and say it's shadh because this thiqa or this maqbool khalafa man huwa awla minhu. He differed with those who were stronger than him by making it the other way around. So therefore, this shows the importance of this science. As for nakara, which is like an odd, off-looking situation, this is usually from a da'if. When there is, because you have some of the ulama of hadith, who have, as we mentioned yesterday of Awza'i, he had some shuyukh that were what? Da'if. Also, he had some students that were da'if. So some of the students that are da'if would be in a majlis, for example, and they may do maqloob. Or qalb, yeah, to a narration that they heard from Al-Awza'i. But other thiqat, they said it the right way. Because he is a da'if narrator, through that which the ulama have seen through tatabbu' and looking at his narrations and kalam of a'imma fihi, and the jarh wa ta'deel, and disparagement, and so forth, regarding this individual, They know that he's a da'if narrator. And if this weak narrator opposed him, thiqat, it's munkar now, not shadh. Because of what? Because the surah of the hadith is maqlub. It's what? Maqlub, it's interchanged. So, the importance of interchange, it helps us get to a shadh hadith and helps us get to a munkar. Wadih? Naam? Shadh.
If he's weak, then it makes it
munkar. Naam. So the if you want to say the definition, a general to understand definition of munkar is mukhalafatu da'if li thiqqa. Whereas a shadh is mukhalafatu maqbool liman huwa awla minhu. Yani huwa maqbool nafsu, thiqqa, qad yakun, or hasan, suduq, but he's opposed somebody who is more stronger than him, so he's a shadh, even though he's trustworthy and he's alright. But as for the da'if, it's called what? Munkar. Which is why they say, some of the ulama, lahu manakir. He's a weak narrator, so a weak narrator can be strengthened. Wadih? He's weak, but he can be strengthened by other narrations. But when somebody has shiddat al-da'af, one of the reasons is because he has a lot of manakir. He opposes those who are stronger than him frequently. So his level of weakness is more severe than somebody who, for example, has a weak memory. Wadih? Tayyib. So that's point number four. And that is that this is an important science, as is the ones we're going to deal with afterwards. Point number five, and that is qalbul matan. The first category is the interchange within the text. The interchange within the chain or the text? The text. Meaning the actual words that's ascribed to the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the matn. And the ta'rif and definition of this, أَنْ يَقَعَ فِي مَتْنِهِ إِبْدَالُ كَلِمَةٍ بِكَلِمَةٍ أَوْ جُمْلَةٍ بِجُمْلَةٍ وَذَلِكَ إِمَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ بِمَعْنًا مُغَيِّرٍ أَوْ تَخْصِيصٍ أَوْ تَقْيِيدٍ. Simplified translation is that is which occurs in the text through an interchange related to the wording of the hadith. A word. Number one, that interchange can occur in the text via a word or a sentence with another sentence. You need the other way around. Or the meaning. Or something that is general is made specific. And something that is specific is made general. Wadih? Something that is open is restricted. And something that is closed is open. There's some qalb. There's interchange regarding the wordings in that. The example of this is the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu. Ani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, Sab'atun yadhulmu Allahu fi dhillihi yawm la dhilla illa dhillu. الحديث وفيه ورجل تصدق بصدقة فأخفاها حتى لا تعلم يمينه ما تنفق شماله. And in this hadith of Abu Hurairah, which is hadith of those seven that are under the shade of Allah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's shade in the day where there are no shade except his shade subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make us be from them. And from this narration, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes one of these individuals, one of these seven, and that is a man that gives charity, where he gives a charity and it's so concealed, without any showing off and riya, that his right hand doesn't know that which his left hand has given in charity. This hadith is considered an example in many books of al-maqloob. Why? And that is because in Bukhari, the hadith mentions bilax. He says, "Rajulun," in the narration that's found in Sahih Bukhari, is "Warajulun tasaddaqa bi sadaqatin fa akhfaha hatta la ta'lam shimaluhu ma tunfiqu yaminuhu." In the first narration we mentioned that his charity is concealed such as his right hand is unaware of what his left hand has given in charity. But in Bukhari, it's the other way around. Yani, his left hand is unaware of that which his right hand has given in charity. This is an example of maqloob in the matn. Why? Because within the hadith, the right hand and the left hand are interchanged. And the correct mahfuz is his left hand doesn't know what his right hand has given in charity. And the reason being in that a nafaqa that is known is been given with your right hand. It's given with your right hand. Now, point number six. And that is qalb al-isnad. And that is qalb al-isnad. And that is an interchange within the chain itself. Interchange within the isnad. And that's usually pertaining to names. That's usually pertaining to names and other things. Well, we've got three. Sheikh Abdullah mentioned three of these examples. But before that, we deal with the definition of this. Qalb al-isnad. Huwa ما رواه الشيخ بإسناد لم يكن كذلك فينقلب عليه وينط من إسناد حديث إلى متن آخر بعده أو ينقلب عليه اسم راو مثل مرة ابن كعب بكعب مرة. And that is that in this قلب الإسناد, where this interchange has happened in the chain, is where the narrator ما رواه الشيخ, the narrator narrates it with an isnad, but that's not the correct isnad. So he's put the isnad to another hadith. Are you with me? So the isnad is supposed to be in hadith A, but he's taken the men and the rijal in that isnad and interchanged it and put it in B. So now there's what? There is? What's the word we're looking for? There's what? There's qalb. There's what? Qalb fil matn or al isnad? Fil isnad. So the wrong isnad has been put in the wrong hadith. And this is like what they did to Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala. Do you remember we mentioned in the definition of al-maqloob that sometimes is done intentionally? The ulama of hadith at the time of Imam Bukhari when he was young, in order to test his memory, they interchanged the asanid, put the wrong hadith with the wrong isnad. And Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, put them all in the right place. And some of the ulama of hadith said, it wasn't so amazing that he was able to identify the right ones. It was amazing that he was able to identify the wrong ones. Because that the wrong ones, vast, whereas the right is limited. Sahih Allah. So his hifz and the strength of Imam al-Bukhari was when this qalb was done intentionally, from the definition we mentioned, he put it in the right places and identified the wrong ones. And that showed the umq of the ilm of and hifz of Imam al-Bukhari. Al-Muhim, this qalb al-isnad was done to Imam al-Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi. So that is where the chain is put into the wrong hadith, number one. Or number two, where the narrator's name, father's name, is interchanged with his name. For example, Anwar, your father's name. Anwar is Anwar ibn Mustafa. Hafidhullah. Hafidhullah. Anwar ibn Mustafa. Hafidhullah. His father's name is who? So he's Anwar, the son of Mustafa. Qalb, in the isnad that Anwar will be in, will be Mustafa, son of Anwar. So the correct one is Anwar, son of Mustafa. The qalb in the isnad here, if there was an error made, would be Mustafa, son of Anwar. An example that Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions is Murrah ibn Ka'b. Dhahabi, yeah. He used this example. Imam Dhahabi uses this example, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-Muqida. And that is Murrah ibn Ka'b changed with Ka'b ibn Murrah. So do you see? Is Murrah ibn Ka'b ubdila bi Ka'ab ibn Murrah. Ka'ab ibn Murrah. Na'am. The next one, we're going to give an example here, and that is another surah, another way to see the qalb of isnad. And I'm using predominantly the sharh of Shaykh Abdul Bukhari, because this is the best sharh of Bayquniyah that I've humbly seen. And especially in this chapter, mashallah, Allahu Mubarak, is quite detailed and well organized. He mentions an example again. أن يغلط راو على شيخ معين فيروي عنه حديثا بإسناد غير الإسناد المحفوظ عنه فيبدله. And that is that someone, راو على شيخ معين, he narrates on a specific sheikh, and he narrates the hadith in an isnad that is other than the one that is known by that sheikh. Does that make sense? So he narrates a hadith from a sheikh, and he places that narration from that sheikh in a hadith that he didn't narrate. Okay? The example of this is إِنَّمَ الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. إِنَّمَ الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, as we mentioned from the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله عنه, verily actions are by intentions. Now, the hadith is hadith غريب فرد خبر أحد. And why? Because here من رواية يحيى بن سعيد الأنصاري عن محمد بن إبراهيم التيمي عن ألقمة عن عمر رضي الله عنه. So it's a narration from Yahya ibn Sa'id upon Muhammad ibn Ibrahim upon ألقمة, who heard or took it from سلامكم الله عمر ibn Khattab رضي الله عنه. نعم. And Yahya ibn Sa'id is Mudallis. Do you remember? Remember? But his Tadlis is not extreme. So this an'ana here is not an issue. This an'ana, saying an, is not an issue. So this is the tatbiq of what we studied yesterday. Al-Muhim, Abdul Majid ibn Abdul Aziz, it was narrated, وَرُوَاهُ Abdul Majid ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawad and Malik. Because Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, we said that all of them is narrated by one narrator in each tabaqa, one person in each level of the chain, except when it got to who? Yahya ibn Sa'id. Now, when it got to Yahya ibn Sa'id, there was loads of narrators. Okay? And one of those narrators was Malik ibn Anas, Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, it's been narrated that Abdul Majid ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Ruwad and Malik and Zayd ibn Aslam and Atta' ibn Yasir and Abi Sa'id al-Khudri. Qala al-Imam Abu Hatim fi al-'ilal li ibnihi wa qad su'ila anhu hadha hadithun batilun la asl lahu. In this narration of Innama al-A'malu binniyat, it is said that Malik, it was narrated from who? Abdul Majid ibn Abdul Aziz ibn Abi Rawad, that he got it from Malik. It's incorrect. Is incorrect. There is a qalb between Abdul Majid and Yahya ibn Sa'id. Femtumuni. Yeah? It should be Yahya ibn Sa'id, but he mentioned it's Abdul Majid. So he's changed it, and it's a mistake and error from the narrator. It's an error from the narrator. And Imam Abu Hatim al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his ilal, spoke to his son, Ibn Abi Hatim, and said to him, هَذَا حَدِيثٌ بَاطِلٌ لَا أَصْلَ لَهُ. There is no, this hadith does not exist in this chain, because Abdul Majid did not get this from Malik. Who got it from Malik? Who? Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, sah? Who? What's his qabila? Al-Ansari. Fimtani? So it wasn't Abdul Majid on Malik. So it was an error there. And that is qalb. That is what? Qalb maqlub. That is maqlub. Now. The third example.
How would you word that in terms of to write it down?
In English? Okay. In English, it would be where a narrator makes a mistake on who got it from the Shaykh. In Arabic, أن يغلط الراوي على شيخ معين فيروي عنه حديثا بإسناد غير الإسناد المحفوظ عنه يعني عن الشيخ. So basically he's connected it to Malik with Abdul Majid, but it should have been who? Yahya. نعم, that's مقلوب. Let's go on to الفرد. الفرد قال البيقوني رحمه الله تعالى والفرد ما قيدته بثقة أو جمع أو قصر على الرواية. He said رحمه الله تعالى الفرد. We've done الفرد before. Do you remember? Anything you remember us doing الفرد?
Singular.
Yes. What was the other word we used? And I told you that it has the meaning of فرد as well. غريب. غريب حديث. نعم. So this is similar to that. نعم. So والفرد is that which the thiqa is on his own. The thiqa is on his own. Yani he's the only one who is mentioned in that sequence or in that stage. And this issue here of the fard, we're not going to go into too much depth regarding it. But we're going to say, go through the shara of Bayquni, where he says, مَا قَيَّدْتُهُ إِشَارَةٍ إِلَى الْقِسْمُ الثَّانِ مِنْ أَقْسَامِ الْفَرْدِ وَهُوَ الْفَرْدُ النِّسْبِي مَا قَيَّدْتُهُ بِثِقَّةِ. This is fard al-nisbi. Do you remember we mentioned Al-Gharib Mutlaq and Gharib Nisbi? Do you remember that? I want to say it to him. General, singular, or singular specifically? Okay. Aywa. Now, for that individual. Like, for example, you can say an example is whether it's Nisbi, Binisbat al Balad. بالنسبه الشيخ, for example, you have a Zuhri, he has all his talamid and his students. Yeah, this individual is the only one from his students that narrated this hadith, so it's fard nisbi, yani it's singular, he's on his own as it relates to the other students. Wadih? And also if you have a narration like we can say innamal a'malu binniyat, innamal a'malu bi niyat, that verily actions are by intentions. All of the narrators are from Medina. Yahya ibn Sa'id, Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, Al-Qama, Umar ibn Khattab, Madani. So this is like a fard bil balad. Marwahu illa ahlu Medina. So it's no one narrated it apart from those from Medina. So it becomes a singular as it relates to the place of the narrators, where they are from. Wadih? Naam. Or you can say, تَفَرَّدَ بِهَا أَهْلُ الشَّامِ. Only those from Sham, Syria and so forth, are the ones who narrated it. Or Yemen. Only the narrators from Yemen are the ones who narrated this hadith. Naam. Or a country, or the people of Mecca, and people of Misr, people of Kufa, and so forth. Let's move on. Okay, so we're not going to repeat Gharib, because it's the same as we mentioned before, where we said that there is a single narrator in any what? Stage of the chain. But the extra we brought here is that it can be Nisbi, and the ulama do this to see who met who. So for example, if this hadith, تَفَرَّدَ بِهِ أَهْلِ الشَّامِ, and somebody from Kufa narrates it, you know there's an illah. Wadih? So, تَفَرَّدَ بِهِ. And Tirmidhi says this a lot. That this narration has not been narrated bin wajhin akhar. This narration, this hadith, has not been narrated in another isnad. So that's called tafarrud. Yani singular as it relates to that hadith in that isnad. Mine? So this is something which Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions frequently in Salamakumullah, in his sunnah. Now, with the fard, we're able to use this for ilal as well, where we know that that which is mahfuz, that which is authentic, is that narration in that form, that singular form. Anything else? Just like the hadith of innamal a'malu binniyat, it's fard, yes or no? So the narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and the hadith of Umar, is it authentic? No, because we know it's that the hadith is fard. That which is authentic is that Ahl Medina, the only ones that narrated that hadith. and Yahya and Muhammad and Salamukum Allah, Alqama and Abdullah ibn Umar ibn Khattab. We know that this is tafarrud huna. Only when it comes to Yahya, it's not tafarrud. Many, some say 150 narrators. But as for the Sahabi, the only authentic narration in the hadith innama a'malu bin niyat is by Umar ibn Khattab. Others are da'if. Now is al-mu'all. Mu'allal. We've been mentioning this throughout now. Is nisbi. There is fard mutlaq and there's fard nisbi. Fard mutlaq is innama al-a'malu binniyat. Khalas. One isnad. Fard nisbi is as it relates to certain areas in the isnad. They're from Medina. They're the only ones who narrate Salamukum Allah. Alqama is the only tafarrad alqama bi hadha al-hadith an Umar ibn Khattab. This tafarrud, this singular, this being on his own in the chain as it relates to Alqama's taking from Umar ibn Khattab, no one else did apart from him. So that's relative singular. It's relatively singular. Where nisbi mutlaq is absolutely singular. Is that wadih? Naam. Al-mu'al. وما بعلة غمود أو خفاء معلل عندهم قد أرفا. Now we go into illa. The best translation I can think for illa is a discrepancy or fault. Discrepancy or fault. There's a discrepancy or fault in the chain. And we've done this, I mentioned this throughout the explanation of Bayquniyah, because it basically deals with a lot of the topics that are in the ilm of hadith come back to this. And as we define illa, discrepancies and fault, as it relates to the terminology of the ulama of hadith, it will become clear, inshallah. Then everything that we've done before will become a bit clearer and showing the tawfiq that the ulama of hadith had or have regarding looking at the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَمَا بِعِلَّةٍ غُمُودٍ أَوْ خَفَى مُعَلَّلٌ عِنْدَهُمُ قَدْ أُرِفَى. Very precise definition by Bayquni rahimahullah ta'ala. So that which is has an obscure, وَمَا بِعِلَّةٍ غُمُودٍ أَوْ خَفَى, that which has an obscure or hidden defect, that's the word, defect. Has a hidden or obscure defect. It's مُعَلَّلٌ عِنْدَهُمْ قَدْ أُرِفَى. And that is called mu'allal. Indahum, yani in the ulama al-hadith. It is known by the people of hadith that this is what the illa is. And that is ghumud aw khafa. That which is obscure, a fault or defect that is obscure or hidden. And this is the 24th qism min aqsam al-hadith that al-Bayquni mentions in his mandhuma. Regarding this, point number one. The importance of this part of the science of hadith. And I think it's clear that we know the importance from that which we've experienced throughout the other affairs of ilm hadith. And that is by the statement of Ibn Salah, rahimahullah ta'ala, اِعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَعْرِفَةَ إِلَّا لِلْحَدِيثِ مِنْ أَجَلِّ عُلُومِ الْحَدِيثِ وَأَدَّقِّهَا وَأَشْرَفِهَا وَإِنَّمَا يَطَّلِعُ بِذَلِكَ أَهْلُ الْحِفْظِ وَالْخِبْرَ وَالْفَهْمِ الثَّاقِبِ. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his ma'rifatu anwa' al-ilm hadith, he said that knowing the defects in a hadith is from the most noble of sciences and the most precise and the most lofty. And verily only those who are from the people who have memory, strong memory, and memorize the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his chains, and have experience regarding this, have correct understanding. They're the only one who are able to do this. They're the only one who are able to find these defects. And the likes of those is like Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala, Abu Hatim and his son Ibn Abi Hatim, Ali ibn al-Madini, Imam al-Bukhari, Imam al-Muslim, Tirmidhi, Nasa'i, ulama of hadith. Not everyone is able to see the defects like Maqlub, the defects, like shadh, the defects. Come on, give me some more. Mursal, defects, like mudah. Mudal, no, mudal is wadih. Mudallis. Mudallis. Remember the tadlis taswiyah, yes? We said in tadlis taswiyah that between two thiqah, there's two trustworthy narrators. There's who missing? A da'if. Is that easy to know? No, because that's something that is absent. When something is there, like a weak narrator, a rawi that is da'if, you have baqiyya there. Or you have, salamakumullah, the tadlis of Ibn Juraj. Or you have in the Ibn Lahiyya. It's known, alarm bells will ring. Because you can see Ibn Lahiyya had issues with his dhabt at some point. But when you have the narrator that is da'if gone, absent, this is serious now, this is difficult. This is ilal. This is ilal. So, based upon that point number two, we define it. And the definition of al-illa, in the al-illa, yani defect, in the Arabic language, is a'iqun ya'uq, or da'fu shay'. And the other one which I consider to be the strongest is al-marad. Illa is al-marad, like a sickness. وَمَا إِلَّتُهُ What's his illness? What is his illness? What's a defect? What is a defect? And what is a weakness? إِلَّا comes back to weakness, defect, and so forth. And that is the linguistic meaning of al-illah. As for al-illah, يَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى قِسْمَيْنِ إِلَّا generally, again, dealing with the linguistics, those of you who have the book for Shaykh, you can see the tartib that the Shaykh is doing. وَالْإِلَّا تَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى قِسْمَيْنِ إِلَّا, again, in its general sense, is categorized into how many categories? Two. Yani defects. There's two types of defects as it relates to the general meaning. إِلَّةٌ ظَاهِرَةٌ وَإِلَّةٌ خَفِيَّ غَيْرُ ظَاهِرَةٌ And that is the apparent illness or apparent defect, and a defect that is hidden and concealed. Okay? Something that, an example of this is an individual, he's sneezing. Yeah? He's sneezing, he's coughing, and his nose is blocked, and he's speaking with a deep voice. You know that he's sick, and that is a defect or an illness that is apparent. But those illnesses that requires blood tests, that's not apparent. Those illnesses that require scans, this is illat khafiyya. This is hidden defect. Take that qiyas to the science of hadith. The mu'al is not the zahira. It's not the defect that is apparent. It's the defect that is hidden, that is khafiyya. Hidden or concealed or difficult to see. So this takes us to the definition of that type of illa. And that is الَّذِي أُطُّلِعَ فِيهِ عَلَى إِلَّةٍ تَقْدَحُ فِي صِحَّتِهِ مَعَ أَنَّ ظَاهِرَهُ السَّلَامَةِ And that is that narration, that hadith that has a defect that causes harm to the authenticity of that hadith, whilst its apparent form seems good. So that hadith, it has a discrepancy and a defect. Okay? That affects the acceptance and rejection of that hadith. Its authenticity is affected. But that defect is not clear. So in the apparent, that hadith seems okay, Salim. Again, remember the mudallis? A taswiyah? Thiqqa and thiqqa and thiqqa. Zahiruhu salama. Thiqqa, trustworthy narrator, upon a trustworthy narrator, upon a trustworthy narrator, with Baqi ibn al-Walid. Or Walid ibn Muslim. Or Ibn Juraj. So you see it and you think, khalas, it's thiqqa, thiqqa, thiqqa. So it's apparent shekel, form, is that it looks okay, but it has a defect that is hidden, and that is that there is a weak narrator that is between two trustworthy narrators. Now, no, I said linguistically. Remember? Generally, linguistically, there are how many? Two types. And that is illatul zahira, and that is a defect that is apparent, and a defect that is hidden. But when we go now from the Arabic linguistic definition, going to the mustalah of ilm al-hadith, we now know that it is that defect that harms the authenticity of the hadith, even though in its apparent form it seems okay. Now, according to the science of hadith, now. Point number three, أين تقع العلة? Where does the illah occur? The illah occurs, as the ulama of hadith has mentioned, either in the isnad. What's the example of that? Tadlis, taswi, or irsal, or mursal, yes? Do you see how everything is coming together? Or in the matan, when does that occur? The illa. Maqloob. Or shadh. Or what? Shadh. Naam. Even shadh. So shadh can occur in the isnad and can occur in the matan. If he opposes those who are authaq minhum in the names on the isnad, or he opposes the text. So this is the illa that's affecting naam. It's not clear-cut, because he's a thiqa that says something. So when you look at the thiqa, for example, you look at Zuhri, he's a thiqa, and he narrates something. You think, oh, thiqa, he's a trustworthy narrator, he said this. But the ulama of hadith look more into the narration, and look at other narrations and others that were there in the sitting, and they are more than him, who said something different than what he said. So now this illa, is it zahir or khafiya? Khafiya, isn't it? Because in apparent he is what? Thiqa. And the qaida is that from the shurut of sahih, we said, matasal isnad he bin naqliyish, adilin and dabitin illa muntahahu. So he's adil, dabit, thiqa. Khalas, we're cool. We're alright. But no, there's an illa, there's khafiya, hidden. And that is that he's opposed those who are authaqu minhu. So it can occur in the isnad. I've put a title in. If you're looking at Sheikh Abdullah's thing, I've put a title on it. Page number 211. I've put a title where the Sheikh said "Wasail al-Kashf an al-Illa." I've put a title "Aina Taqa al-Illa," where it's a little sentence where the discrepancy in illa can occur, and that is it can occur number one in the isnad. Number two. In the matan, or number three, in both, or number three, in where? Both. So how many ways? Three. Either in a snad on its own, or in a text, or both. Now, and the one that usually occurs in birth is the affairs like shadh. Yeah, there is. Do you want the example? I'll give it to you at the end. I have it here. I'll give it to you, inshallah. Remind me. Okay. I can't think of the example now, but there's an example I collected here. Okay, now. Point number four. Waikum salam. Point number four. And that is the ways to find out when something has a defect. This is meaty now, yes? The ways and the turuq and the wasail and the means that the ulama of hadith, the ulama of ilal, use to find out when there is, or how to find out where there is an illa in a hadith. Number one, jam'u turuq. And that is gathering the different avenues on the chains of the isnad. So the ulama of hadith, they don't just take one chain. They don't just take one chain. They look at all the chains connected to that hadith. They gather it together. جَمْعُ طُرُقُ أَحَدِيثِ الْبَابُ الْوَاحِدِ. So in that chapter, on that topic, they gather all of the hadith dealing with that topic. As Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, بَابُ الْبَابُ إِذَا لَمْ تُجْمَى طُرُقُهُ لَمْ يَتَبَيَّنْ خَطَأُهُ. That a chapter, if all of its avenues are not gathered together, the errors will not be clear, made clear. You won't know which is what is wrong. Which is why ulama of the people of the sunnah, we just don't take one hadith and that's it. We look in bab al-tahara and we just take one hadith, khalas, la. You look at the bab of tahara. You look at the chapter of tahara and you look at the different ahadith, and one hadith may explain another hadith. And another hadith may abrogate another hadith. Another hadith may be general and this hadith makes it specific. Wadih? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kafa. Enter into the religion completely. Take all of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fahmt? So one of the ways that the ulama they use is to gather all of the narrations in that chapter and look to see which is has tafarrud, which has, is there shadh, is there qalb, is there ittirab, which we're going to do later. And ittirab means confusion and opposition and so forth. The second one is مراتب الرواة. معرفة مراتب الرواة والثقات. رواة الثقات. And that is to know the levels of the narrators. To know the levels of the narrators as it relates to the Asanid, as it relates to certain towns. So you know who are the narrators from Kufa, who are the narrators from Basr, who are the narrators from Mecca, who are the narrators from Medina. Which is why you have the books of Tariq al-Baghdadi, the Tariq al-Baghdadi, which shows you all of the ulama that have been past Baghdad, even if they came once. So you find Imam Ahmad there. Huh? You find Salamukum Allah, Ibn Mubarak. So there were Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah ta'ala, Juhud Kabir. He's gathered all of the ulama who have gone past Baghdad. That's why it's called Tariq al-Baghdad. So the ulama would look into Baghdad and study that book, Tariq al-Baghdad, and know who has been in Baghdad. So therefore, they will be aware of the narrators who could have met the Shaykh of Baghdad. Wadih? So you know that you have to have knowledge of the Ruwat. You have to know who they are. You have to have knowledge of the Thiqat that are mentioned in the Asanid. And Shaykh Abdul Bukhari brings a statement mashur from Ali ibn al-Madini, rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, نَظَرْتُ فَإِذَا الْإِسْنَادِ يَدُورُ عَلَى السِّتَّةِ. He said, I looked into the Asanid, yani of the Sunnah, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I found that it revolves around six. For Ahlu Medina, Ibn Shihab, yani Zuhri. Ibn Shihab, yani Zuhri. And I found that all of the narrations come back to Amr ibn Dinar, yani he's the strongest. And in Basra, Qatada ibn Da'amata Sadusi, and Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. And for Ahl Kufa, Abu Ishaq. وَسُلَيْمَانِ ibn Mihran. Basically, shall I say it again? Okay. Ahl al-Madina ibn Shihab. That all of the Asanid go back to him. He's involved in them. All the chains and transmissions, ibn Shihab, yani Zuhri, is involved in them. And in Mecca, Amr ibn Dinar. Amr ibn Dinar. And in Basra, Qatada As-Sadusi. Qatada As-Sadusi. And Yahya ibn Abi Kathir. Mashur. And for Kufa is Abu Ishaq. And he is Amr ibn Abdullah. And also is Sulaiman ibn Mihran. Basically, these are the ulama of those areas. So you need to go to the books talking about who are the narrators that narrated from them. And know who are the trustworthy ones from them. Have ma'rifah of it. So then you know who's the issue of shadh. You know irsal. Somebody who is from Mecca narrates and somebody who is from Kufa, and he's never been to Kufa. So you know that it's inqita. There's a problem here. Wadih? That's number two. Number three, ma'rifatu tabaqatu ashabur ruwah. So now you know the narrators in number two. You know the narrators. The third issue is that you know the levels of their students. The levels of their students. For example, Atta ibn Abi Rabah. Atta, rahimahullah ta'ala, his best student was who? I mentioned it a few weeks ago. Ibn Juraij. Highest level. So you know the tabaqa of the students of the narrators. And when you know the tabaqa of the students of narrators, what does that help you, Sheikh Nuruddin? When you know the levels of the students, how does that help you? What topic have we done before that it helps you understand the illah of what? Sha'ath, na'am. Why? Because this Shaykh has all of these students. If the strongest student opposes the one, so if the weakest student opposes the strongest student, it's what? Shad. Fimt?
So what happened with the, what's his name, isn't it?
Bishop al-Ghaz.
Yeah, that one.
Naam.
Regarding Yarwi an ibn al-Amr,
isn't it? Naam. And also the...
It was low on the...
Adna minhu. Naam. So you need to know who's Ala, who's Adna. So once you know that, then you're able to find out the hidden discrepancies.
Does it also happen if he brings something that none of the other students brought?
It depends. The conditions of Shadh is that it has to be the same narration from the same sitting. If he brings something that they haven't brought, another narration, that's tafarrud. Now tafarrud, as we mentioned yesterday, is not mazmum, it's not blameworthy. You can be the only one that narrates it. As Yahya ibn Sa'id, Muhammad ibn Ibrahim and Alqama and so forth. Sah? It's tafarrud. Other ashab of Umar ibn Khattab, they didn't narrate it, only Alqama did. So that's tafarrud, but it's not madhmum. The issue is when you oppose. Naam.
Wasn't that the situation with the Hisham? He brought something that none of the other ones that sat with him more than he did. He brought something.
That's what is khilaf in the issue, Aslan. Okay? Which is where comes the ziyadatul thiqat as well.
No.
Yeah? Like, what's his name? I forgot his name now. Ibn Zinad, I think. And the issue of the finger.
No.
It's shadh.
Yeah.
No. But other ulama say it's not. It's ziyarat al-thiqat. So that's where it comes when you look at the hujjah. And as mentioned before, I asked Sheikh Muhammad ibn Hadi regarding that. He says, اجعلوا كحديث مستقل. They're from the same ashab, same shuyukh, they had the same sheikh, but treat it as a separate hadith. Just as, for example, you may sit with Sheikh Rabi' and Anwar and everyone sit with Sheikh Rabi' and you hear a narration, but then another day you sat with Sheikh Rabi' and they didn't. And you come with something that they haven't come with, but you sat with him and you're thiqqa. We accept the khabr thiqqa. We accept the khabr thiqqa. The narration of the one on his own. So that's number three, sir. Father.
If you bring the hadith to Shah, does that lower your status?
No, but if you do it a lot, yes. If you oppose the thiqat, that is awthaq min kathira, a lot, it will affect your status. But having shad now and again, no. Is it when it's what? Plentiful. Because now it becomes su, al-hifz, and su, and weakness in your dhabt.
If you go this amount of times, it's okay.
No. It's just from the ulama of hadith, it can reach, become manakir. You know, وَلَهُ مَنَاكِيرُ. And he's opposing everyone. He's always opposing the thiqat. And the only people that always oppose thiqat are who? The da'if, the du'afa. So that's where it will affect his status now. Okay. Sheikh Abdullah brings the tabaqat of Zuhri, but I won't go into that, it's a bit detailed. But anyone who wants to go back to that, go on page 214 of Salamukum Allah. Of the Sharh of Bayquniya, taken from the works of Ibn Rajab, rahmatullah alayh, in Sharh Ilal. In his explanation of the Ilal of Tirmidhi, he mentions the tabaqat and the ashab of Az-Zuhri, the levels of them, who who's strongest, why were they strong, and there you're able to compare them in the narrators if they oppose. Tayyib. The number four is ma'rifatu mutashabi min al-asma wal-kuna wa-al-qab. And that is, you're able to have the knowledge of those names that are similar. Those names that are similar. Muhammad, Mahmud, Hamid, Hakim. Anas, Unais, Aus, Uwais. These kind of names which are similar. You have the ability to have the knowledge and recognition of the those names that are similar. And the example of this is brought by Ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullah ta'ala. And that is, he said, Sa'altu Abi, yani Abi Hatim al-Razi, and hadithin rawahu Zuhair ibn Muawiyah, qala hadathana wasilu ibn Hayyan, an ibn Burayda, an abihi, an nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The issue here is that in this hadith, Zuhair ibn Muawiyah said, hadathana wasil ibn Hayyan. Now Wasil ibn Hayyan is who he said that he narrated to him. But the one that narrated to him was Salih ibn Hayyan. So Wasil, Salih, has the same, what's the word in English? Syllables. Has the same syllables. So this, it can confuse when somebody's narrating. So Zuhair ibn Muawiyah didn't meet Wasil. So he said, Wasil ibn Hayyan narrated from him. Or narrated to him, sorry. But he never met him. He never met him. But rather is who? Salih ibn Hayyan. So the ulama of Ilal, they know that this individual, Wasil, wasn't a sheikh of Zuhair ibn Muawiyah. So they know that there's a problem here. Now the next thing is to try and find out who was supposed to be in that isnad. And that is that the ulama will do taftish and look through the asanid and realize that he's confused it through, or a narrator has confused it rather, through the similar sound of the names and how similar they are. So you have to have awareness of names that are similar in Rijal. Now tell me which science in the dunya is compared to that. Which science from these scientists and these people who claim to be intelligent is compared to this? Chemistry, compared, like it. Not chemistry, not biochemistry, not chemistry, nothing. Compared to the science of hadith and the level of the ulama as it relates to taftish and looking through the isnad, which is why we've been told to follow their way. Number five, asah al-asanid. Ma'rifatu ma qila fihi asah al-asanid. Wa ma qila fihi أوها الأسانيد. And that is that we have to know the knowledge of what is the most authentic chain. What is the most authentic chain in this hadith? What is the most authentic chain on Malik? What is the most authentic chain on this narrator? And the ulama have this knowledge, and that's why you find in Tadrib al-Rawi, Suyuti mentions the Asah al-Asanid, mentions a lot of those most authentic narrators based upon city. Hakim mentioned it before him. The most authentic narrators regarding Medina, the most authentic isnad in Medina, the most authentic isnad in Mecca, the most authentic chain in Kufa, the most authentic chain Kedha or Kedha. And that's where you can compare narrations and see which one is stronger and so forth now. Zuhri and Abdullah ibn Umar. No, it's not standard. It's ikhtilaf. It's ikhtilaf. The ulama of Bukhari has mentioned his. That one you mentioned there is from Bukhari. Imam Bukhari. And that is called Silsilat Dhahabiyya. That one there is probably less differed upon. It's called the Golden Chain. With Zuhri, Malik, Nafi, and Abdullah ibn Umar. It's called Silsilat al-Dhahabiyya. Why would it differ over which is the strongest chain? Yeah, because they differ on which is the strongest student. That's what it stems from. Some say that Nafi is the strongest, who the Nafi was the servant of Abdullah ibn Umar. Others say his son Salim is. But the correct opinion, Allah knows best, is Nafi, the Mawla, the servant of Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhumma. Naams. Abdullah ibn Umar. Okay, al-wajh al-khamis, the fifth, khamis or sadis? Well, khalas, khamis is enough. There's more, by the way, I've just mentioned five, and the Sheikh mentioned five, six, seven, and there's others that we can mention here. Hakim mentions maybe 14 ways or so that you can find the ilal of a hadith. But I've just given the nubdha. We're not ashab ilal, we're just so we can understand what the context implies, and that is that the ulama of hadith have juhud kabir in preserving the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And are we tired? Let me look at the eyes. Should we continue? Let's continue then. The next one, so we understand ilal, the mu'al, the hadith mu'al. And that is a very important, why? Because it helps us understand all of the tadlis and all of these things. And the tadlis is part of the illa of a hadith. Tadlis of shuyukh and tadlis? Isnad. And also irsal, but not just irsal, irsal al-khafi. The more obscure type of irsal. And also another one that Hakim mentions is, I'll give you just an example, is riwayat al-sahabi and al-tabi'in. Because some of the companions narrated on the tabi'in. Wadih? So if you say an fulan min al-sahaba, you think khalas. And he says an, and you think the other person's a thiqah. But really he's what? A tabi'i. Because some of the companions narrated from the tabi'i. Especially the younger of the sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. Okay? Or another tabi'i. Which is why the definition of mursal by Bayquni is not correct. Because a sahabi can narrate on a tabi'i, who can narrate on a tabi'i, that's da'if. So the ulama of ilal have to, they know the rawi that he narrated on, and you know that he's not a companion. Malaqiya Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mu'minan bih. He didn't meet the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a believer. He's one of the tabi'i, or he's mukhadram. You know mukhadram? The mukhadram is someone who lived at the same time with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he didn't meet him. Like who is? Al-Qurani. And he's a mukhadram. And they call him he's the best of the tabi'in because of that. Because he's the only tabi'i that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith. Qeel, him as well. So, salamukum Allah. The ulama of hadith, they know who the narrators are, as there could be a companion who narrated from a tabi'i. And then Bayquni rahimahullah ta'ala says, "Wa dhu ikhtilafi sanadin aw matni muttaribun 'inda Uhayl al-Fanni." He says, "Wa dhu ikhtilafi sanadin aw matni." That which there is contradictions, that which is. So muttarib, you can say contradictions. Al-muttarib, good translation, Allahu a'lam, is contradictions. When there is contradictions in the chain or the matan, it is called contradictions, muttarib, according to the people of the science of hadith. When there is what? Ikhtilaf where? Sanad and matan. So we now know the categories of ittirab, and that is, it can be number one, in a sanad, and number two, in the matan. ذو اختلاف في سند أي وقع في اختلاف يؤثر قدحا في سنده. ذو اختلاف, يعني not just there is a contradiction, a contradiction that affects and causes and affects the authenticity and the correctness of the isnad or the matan. The matan is where there is the most. This is the predominant one where there's contradictions within the matan. Contradiction in isnad is rare. contradiction with isnad is rare. I'm going to speak about this very generally and quickly, so I won't keep you too long. Okay, so should we go for the definition? Point number one, the definition of al-ittirab. And lughatan, huwa ikhtilalu al-amri wa fasadu nidhamihi. And that is to disrupt the form and state of something, its order, to disrupt the order of something. That's what ittirab, like this. Something is the ship is flowing or sailing in the sea, and then there is turbulence, so then ittirab al-fulk. So the boat has ittirab, because something has come and affected its smooth moving. Okay? That's the linguistic meaning for ittirab. Wadih? Amma istilah هو ما روي على أوجه مختلفة متساوية من راوين فأكثر أو راو واحد لا يمكن الجمع بينها ولا ترجيح. Okay, this definition that I'm going to give you now, I'm going to translate the definition and use this as the basis for us to understand بالاختصار اضطراب. And that definition is that which is narrated through different angles, equal. They're equal in their level regarding the narrators or more, from two narrators or more, or even one narrator. لا يمكن, it's impossible to collaborate these narrations. So there's two narrations or more, and it's impossible to collaborate them. They're conflicting. They're what? Conflicting. So there's ittirab. It's not smooth. They're conflicting. It's impossible to combine to complement these two hadiths together or collaborate them together. And it's impossible to choose which one is better. So we have a situation where we have two narrations, mathalan, and this narration says black and this narration says white. We can't say grey. That's not a good gem. So we can't collaborate them. Black is good sometimes. White is good other times. Depending. So we can't make tarjih. We can't say one is better than the other. So black is a type of isnad and white is another isnad. So this is ittirab. And this, the ulama of ilal opens their eyes. There's a problem here. Because the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has no contradictions. أفلا يتدبرون القرآن ولو كان من عند غير الله لوجد فيه اختلافا كثيرا. Do they not reflect on the Quran? If it was from other than Allah, then there will be contradiction. There will be اضطراب. And وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. So like the Quran is a revelation, the Sunnah is a revelation. So there is no contradiction in the Sunnah, like there's no contradiction in the Quran. So if that occurs, then someone has made an error. Now they start looking, it could be shad, it could be qalb, it could be something, because muttarib could be anything. Any type of weakness by any narrator in any aspect of the chain to cause this type of conflict and contradiction and confusion, which cannot be in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if there's no ability to join them together, where this one is general and this one is specific, that's a gem. Now, and there's no possibility to say this is stronger in the isnad than this one, or this, the narrators on this chain are stronger than that narrator, because then it will be shad. Sahih Allah. We can't do this. When we can't do all of that, then we know there's a problem, and it's considered muttarib. It's considered what? Muttarib. Now. No, because it's a gem. Sheikh Albani makes a gem. He says, if you touch it out of desires, that's his gem. So there's a possibility to gem. No? And there's also tarjih and nasikh ul mansukh. And that is that some say that the prohibition of touching that hadith is abrogated by the other one. So there is a possibility to get an understanding how these both hadith can work together. But when you cannot do that, absolutely cannot do that, then the hadith is now what? Muttarib. It's confused, and that cannot be from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abadan daif. Wadih? No. Yeah, it's a type of tarjih, yeah. Tarjih has different tarjih, siha, wada'af, tarjih, nasikh, mansukh, no. That's why when the Shaykh mentions the definition here, tarjih, tarjih means we select this one over that one. Generally. There's a reason that's made us select this one over that narration. Whether this one is stronger, and this one is in Sahihain, and this one is in Musnad of Bazaar. Which one are you going to take? Sahihain, the one that Imam Muslim and Bukhari, that's a tarjih. But the ulama go to tarjih at the end. At the end they'll go to tarjih. They'll try and exhaust the possibility of collaboration. But it cannot be far-fetched. Fi takalluf. It cannot be far-fetched. Yeah? Like black, white, oh, grey. Far-fetched. That's the third colour. One of them being wrong, yeah. So we don't go to there. That's the last marhala. That's the last stage when there's ikhtilaf and so forth. The before that, you have to do jam. Which is why the definition, it says, لَا يُمْكِنُ الْجَمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بَيْنَهَا وَلَا تَرْجِحْ. When you cannot do the jam, and you cannot do the tarjih, and the tarjih is at the end, where there is no possibility to cause tanasuk or collaboration between the two narrations now. What do you mean?
Anything that befalls on the mutlab becomes daif.
If there is no possibility, if first of all, let's talk about, can we talk about the conditions quickly? Let's go to the conditions taken from the definition. I've mentioned it in general, now I'm going to mention it in points, so we can make it easier. Okay? The conditions are four. The conditions are four. Number one, yani, so here's the title, the conditions of a hadith to be muttarib. If it doesn't fulfill these four conditions, then it's not muttarib. And muttarib means what, Sheikh Nuruddin? In English? That's it, yeah, like that. I sense. There is confusion and conflict and contradictions. Yeah? Muttarib.
Which has been disturbed.
Disturbed. Is that what they translated in the...
Disturbed
is linguistic. Disturbed is what? Linguistic. But if you want to talk about it related to the ilm hadith, there is contradiction. There is contradiction and conflict. Contradiction and conflict. Two narrations are not working together. Yeah, disturbed is the linguistic meaning. Yeah, like you have a turbulence that disturbs the flow of the ship. That's linguistic. Now, so the best word is contradiction, conflict, and so forth. Now, number one, the conditions of a hadith to be under the category of ittirab, yani to be muttarib, to be conflicting. Number one, anna makhraj al hadith al mukhtalif fihi muttahid. That these narrations that are conflicting have the same, are come from the same sources. They come from the same sources. Meaning, they're both from Bukhari, they're both from Muslim, they're both from Salamukum al-Amada, Bazaar, they're both from Musnad ibn Abi Shayba, Musnad Abdul Razak. Naam. But if you say one's in from Sahih Bukhari and one's from Muslim, then it's not Muttarib. Then it's not, Bukhari and Muslim, or Bukhari and Sunnah Abi Dawood, and they're different, this is not Muttarib. Because they're not the same. They're not the same. The makhraj, yani, that which has been extracted from, has to be from the same source. The extracted source has to be the same. Should we go to number two? Number two, and that is that they're mutasawiyah. أن تكون وجوه الاختلاف متسوية في القوة فلو خالف الثقة ضعيف أو واهن إلى آخره. Basically, that it has to be, the narrators, for example, have to be the same level. So if, for example, you have a thiqa in one chain who says one thing, and then you have a ضعيف in another chain who says another thing, is that ittirab? What is that called? Munkar. Munkar. It's called what? Munkar. And if you have a thiqa in one chain, and then you have a saduq, who's Hassan, in another chain, what's that? Shadh. They have to be thiqa, thiqa. Daif, a thiqa, thiqa, saduq, saduq. Wadih? So when it's like that, for example, methylene, thiqa, thiqa, saduq, saduq, if we've exhausted all the types of collaboration and so forth, we know that one of the thiqas made a mistake. One of them made a mistake. Okay, now, number two is that the mutasawiyah, that they are what? Equal. They are what? Equal. Number three, yata'adharu al-jam'u baynaha. Yata'adharu al-jam'u baynaha. And that is that it is impossible to combine the two narrations. Like oil and water. Can you combine them? Can you combine oil and water? Oil will always stay at the top. It's never going to be mixed. Sahih? No. Can you combine falsehood and good? No. Ignorant and knowledgeable? La. So, يتعذر الجمع بينها. So these two narrations or three narrations for أكثر, there is no way that you can cause a gem. And that gem can be one hadith is specific and the other one is general. One is مقيد, restricted, and the other one is مطلق, absolute. Fimt? Or one is regarding women and the other one is regarding men. The ahkam. So there is possible to do jam. Naam? Or you say, for example, the hadith, salamukum Allah, al-imanu bid'u wa sab'una shu'ba. A'laha qawlu la ilaha illallah wa adnaha al-imatatu adha, imatatu al-adha ani al-tariq wal-haya'u shu'batu min al-iman. In the hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that iman belief is of 70 odd branches. The highest of them is saying la ilaha illallah. The lowest of those branches is removing a harmful object from the street or the way of people. And shyness is part of iman. There's another narration. Al-imanu bid'u wa sittun. One narration said 70, one narration said what? 60. Bid'u wa sittun wa shu'ba. So one says 70 branches, the other narration says 60 branches. There's a possible to do what? There's not ittirab, you can do jam. And that is 60 is included in 70. And in the way of the Arabs, bid'u is approximate. When you say bid'u, bid'u, you're an approximate. And kad yadkhul fihi 16. Are you with me? So there's no ittirab here because there's a way that we can what? Make jam. So if we cannot do a jam, make a jam, the ulama of hadith will declare it. If they can make a jam, the ulama of hadith will say it's not muttarib. And number four, what do you think number four based upon the definition is? That you cannot make a decision on which one is better than the other. You cannot choose between them. If you can't choose between them, then it's muttarib. And the choosing between them could be one is more authentic than the other. You could choose between them could be one is nasikh, the other is mansukh. Or the tarjih could be that this one has one narrator and these lot have 15 thiqat and this has one thiqa. Then you can make tarjih. Ha'ula ahfad minhu, adada wa makana. They're stronger than them in number and stronger than them in station. Then you can make a tarjih. If you can do this, then it's not muttarib. But if you can't do all of this four, number one is what? Has from the same source. Number two? The narrators are what? The same level. Number three? You cannot make a gem. And number four? Huh? You can't choose between one and the other. If you can do this, if you can't do this, then the hadith is muttarib. And this muttarib is one of those funoon that goes back to the ulama of ilal. Again, this goes back to ilal. Because it's hidden. It's what? It's hidden. And why is it hidden? In that, if the person is not from the ulama and he says, it's da'if, but there's mumkin jam', then that's a problem. And it requires ilm and fiqh. Naam. And also knowing the ma'rifat al-rijal, you know which one, you know that they are from the same makana, the same level. And also knowing the makharij of the narration, the sources, you have to have ilm of that to know that they're from the same sources. That if they are from different sources, then it cannot be muttarib. Naam. Saduq is, the Saduq has many levels, but general, the Saduq has an issue with the dhabt. Yani a thiqa is someone who is trustworthy in his being, etiquette, obedient to Allah in most of his state and so forth. And he has a strong memory, and his mistakes are few. In his memory, he's not perfect, but his mistakes are few and his memory is strong. As for Saduq, Saduq is someone who has a weakness, and predominantly is known as have weakness in memory, whether it's Dabt al-Kitab or Dabt al-Sadr. Naam. And there's other, there's worse Saduq. Saduq have different levels as well, but generally that's the differences. Naam. Absolutely.
So
Jam is the first one.
Yeah.
The first marhala is jam'a. And when you've exhausted that, then you go on to tarji'. As the ulama of, it's in usul of fiqh as well. The books of usul of fiqh, you find this step. And that's the step of Ahl Hadith. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.